preparing for exam four, you're going to definitely want to know chapter 17, some basic definitions, and the seven techniques. So you need to understand the background for what we consider DNA technology or the synonym biotechnology, including generation of transgenic organisms. That will include understanding why they are generated. That's, you know, some common uses in our society today. That means ways that you've encountered them or others in, that you may know have encountered them in daily life. So the seven techniques, a little bit of definition or some application is all you really need to know. We're not looking for a lot of depth. And so you're just wanting to make sure that you're understanding the application of each technique. The side note about this is that it is impacting society in terms of ethics. And moving forward as a society, we're going to have to decide how we want to handle the DNA technology that already exists. 18 and 19 provide background for these same ideas that DNA codes for protein, and the more we learn about that process, the more humans are able to manipulate it through DNA technology or biotechnology. So we just kind of look at some background definitions. The basic definition of evolution is genetic changes over time in a population. So I have to have genes, A's and C's and T's and G's, which the variety of genes is described as alleles that are changing in a population over time. So it can never involve individuals. And we want to remember that Darwin was the first person to give out a shout out to natural selection as a process. That's different than artificial selection, where humans decide which plant or animal is going to breed. And that would usually be for reasons that humans can manipulate. So we started our understanding of this journey in module 3 with Mendel. And we realized that if you're a corn farmer, you're going to have an interest in getting as much corn out of the same amount of property you have year after year. And that's going to involve improving the crops. So whether you do that improvement through natural means, which has been done for generations, centuries, or you use DNA technology, those are both applications of artificial selection. Natural selection is happening all around us all the time. Okay, that is because of selective pressure. That process of selection means which organism is going to be best able to send its A's and C's and T's and G's into the future. I can't send my A's and C's and T's and G's into the future unless I survive for long enough to reproduce. That's the way my A's and C's and T's and G's get into the future. Okay, we want to remember that this impacts things like convergent evolution, where if I go to the tundra and I look at animals that are wandering around in the Arctic, then I'm going to see more animals with a white outer coat, whether that's feathers, fur, whatever it is. It's going to be much more likely for them to survive and send their A's and C's and T's into the future when they have the same coloring as their environment. Nothing about this process involves thinking, feeling, believing, hoping, creating, because it's A's and C's and T's and G's, and they can't do any of that. Always in any population, there are going to be adaptations that give an advantage. Those advantages can change from environment to environment from time to time. So just like the finches, if it's a time of drought, the birds with a bigger beak will have an advantage. If it's not, the smaller beaks will have an advantage. So those adaptations are very flexible. There's no end goal. We want to think about selective pressure. One really good example is antibiotics. Antibiotics give us a very good example of what happens to populations when selective pressure is present. When we think about the overarching principle of natural selection, we realize that over time, it's going to eliminate any poorly developed phenotype. So the expressions that don't have the visible appearance that doesn't have an advantage will always be selected against. So the example we talked about in our class was the heterozygote advantage you get from sickle cell anemia. So if you are a carrier, you have an advantage in terms of malaria. And if you understand all the concepts we've been talking about up until this point, that should fit nicely as an anchor for this information. The only other new vocabulary involves fossils, so you'll want to remember what those are and how people have studied them. And the main vocabulary words involve the structure. So the structures that indicate a common ancestor are going to have that prefix homo for same. Homologous structures indicate a common ancestor. The structures that may have the same function but no common ancestor, those are going to be the structures that are analogous. So that's like the bird's wings compared to a bee's wings. And a vestigial structure is an old structure that used to have a function in the organism, but that function has been lost. And the one we talked about extensively was the whale, the hind limbs. But you know, what we're studying right now isn't really about these bones. It's about the A's and C's and T's and G's. So we are comparing those daily. We're thinking about that. And we remember that at different times, organisms will come together or they will become more different. So the example from the textbook is about marsupials. Marsupials are a group of organisms that are very different. They are a mammal species that carry their young in a pouch, like a kangaroo. Most mammal species don't do that. So at some point in the common ancestry of mammal history, there was a divergence. And marsupials are committed to that line of inheritance that maintains carrying their young in the pouch, while other mammals no longer have that feature. There are four main factors that are going to influence the movement of alleles through space and time. That's going to be mutation, which is always random based on electrons. Never know when it's going to happen. Never know if it's going to be beneficial or harmful. That's mutation. Founder effect is a special effect when some organisms are found in an isolated location and they cannot reproduce with other organisms, which limits their genetic variety. We think about what happened with the finches. The bottleneck event is one where we have a very large, robust population, but something cataclysmic happens to them, whether it's a natural disaster or being hunted almost to extinction. We realize that when a population becomes very small, so once it becomes endangered, then there's not that much variety left in the gene pool, and that can create a problem for the allele frequencies in that population. Migration is very beneficial to populations over time. It's very helpful for introducing variety because variety is good for populations. So overall, when you think about all of the module, you want to remember that natural selection is a process that depends on variety in the A's and C's and T's and G's. That is very beneficial. And then whatever particular A's and C's and T's and G's provide an advantage for organisms to survive long enough to reproduce is going to persist in the population. That means that there's no thinking, hoping, feeling, believing, but the ones that are most likely to move forward are the ones we will see in the future of the population. So anytime we think about these overarching concepts, if there is a behavior that's based on male and female mating behavior, like we often see in bird species, then we know that that sexual selection, whatever gives that bird an advantage in winning the reproduction competition, it is going to persist and move into the future. Evolution will not ever have any goal of making an organism bigger, better, faster, smarter, because A's and C's and D's and G's make alleles and they do not have that ability. So there's no goal. All of these things are subject to change. So if the environment becomes warmer, that's a different kind of selective pressure than if the environment becomes colder. Traits that are good in one really environment or one location are going to be different in another area. So think of how all these concepts tie back to everything we've been learning since the beginning.